Calling all units, calling all units. Donut shop has a fresh dozen. Go ahead and take a 1040.
Is this a new one?
Yeah, I wrote that, well, heck, a year ago now. Mm. And there's one more, but I couldn't find a copy of it.
You have four?
Yeah.
You're just wheeling and dealing, baby.
Yeah, someone told me, once you write your first one, all the others, the ideas start going, and you just, well, I've written one, why not write another one?
I guess it's a process, you know, of like, yeah, I can tell a story, but I don't even know how to write a I know how to write. I could tell a story, but I don't know how to get all the way to where the book is right there in front of you.
Yeah. So good amount of YouTube videos can be watched, and that's what taught me.
Save that for the episode. I mean, it's recording, but...
Oh, okay. I thought we were in the episode. I'm just kidding. I didn't know you were Marine Corps.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, two tours in Iraq, yeah.
Oh, so we're going to have a Marine on right after you as well.
Awesome.
Yeah. Two tours in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, all right.
They tend to like to get out there and do stuff afterwards.
What's that?
Marines, like,
no, I didn't know. Gauls, I just read this the first time.
Gauls a Marine.
Yeah,
you know,
Marines get it done. If they're not eating crayons,
that's right.
They're out there getting put in work.
I forgot about the coloring books.
You checking your nails to make sure you don't have any.
Yeah, crayons. Yeah.
You want to start?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we're back.
And we're back. I forgot how we even start this. Yeah. I know we're broadcasting live. Well, we're broadcasting from Fed's Apparel.
Recording at Fed's Apparel, although today it feels like we're back in the garage.
Yeah, it's a little toasty in here.
Thanks, Randall.
Thanks. Well, I just texted him. He's going to be turning the AC on. Broadcasting from Fed's Apparel, where they uniform America. So for all your uniform needs, visit fedsapparel.com and go check them out.
Nice. Good job.
I even have a little store on there.
Yep, and yeah, there's other stores, and hopefully soon we'll have a Donut Shop podcast store in there.
Ooh,
nice!
Some big news coming with Fed's Pro, by the way. Just want to plug that, and then we're gonna get to why you're here. Mm-hmm. You're like, go ahead, so oh look, American flag, make your flag. Okay, I'm just pointing that out. So big news coming, and there's gonna be some new merch, especially for Donut Shop. So if you're into hats with what is it called the
Like branded bills?
PVC.
Sorry. I'm going to call the whole company out. PVC patches on the front of your hat.
Yes, yeah, so if you're into hats with PVC patches and stuff, just, it's coming.
Yeah, we're working on it.
Enough of that. We got Scott here. What's going on, Scott?
Oh, a lot, but doing great.
All right, man. And Scott has wrote some books.
Yes.
About law enforcement.
Yep.
About mental health in law enforcement. Now I got this book here in front of me, 101 Useful Tips for a Rookie. I got to read that one.
You'll make a great police officer one day, Nick.
Right. Yeah. And then there's another book. There's a fourth book, not here in the studio, but you can find it on Amazon, correct?
Yes, they're all on Amazon.
All right. And so you can go check it out. We're going to put all the links down below, or everyone, if you guys are listening to this podcast, like, man, that's pretty interesting. I want to find out more. We'll put all the links down below. You check them out. Show some support. I know Jay's got a couple here.
Yeah, these two are
you brought
my
to get
editions.
Signed. You got
my
you brought editions. It to get signed.
Yeah.
And Scott also listened to the show, and he brought on an authentic mug sitting right there.
That's right.
Boom. He's got a little wear and tear, last.
Yeah,
they do. Quality control.
This is almost 3 years old.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Hey, we were just shipping them out, saying we don't know what's going to happen.
They've made it out to Ireland. They've gone all over the place. Wow. Yeah.
He's only chipped his tooth 3 times, but hey, we picked up the dental bills.
Yeah. I still got mine running.
Yeah, put the warning label on the bottle. Mm-hmm. Make sure.
Yeah. But you can put it in the dishwasher. They're dishwasher safe.
Yep.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Just before we got on, I flipped the back of the book, and you know, shame on me. I'm not a great researcher, but I'm a pretty good detective. And it says here, you're a former Marine.
Right? I am.
Marine Corps veteran, 2 tours in Iraq.
Yep. That's right.
All right. Yep. So thank you for your service. First and foremost,
appreciate it.
We're the fans of the veterans, fans of the Marines. And, we usually, what we do when we go out, I go to the restaurant and I get my kids food, and they have the color on the menu. And I usually take crayons for the Marines, but I'm all out.
Oh, man. And I'm hungry too. So dang it.
You want to go in a little bit and how we got to know each other and how you got here on the show and everything?
Yeah, sure. Well, basically in 2020, I realized after being on the job for more than 10 years, it just wasn't working out for my family anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But also in 2020, that's when I learned for the first time that more police officers were dying by suicide. Now, I don't mean like that was the first time that had happened.
Right.
That was just when I was learning about it.
Yeah.
And that made me very mad. Mm-hmm. I thought, wait a minute, I've been in all these years, I've gone through mental health struggles of my own, and now I'm just now learning about the fact that we are more of a threat to ourselves than like someone out there killing us on the street.
Right.
It enraged me. So I said, I'm going to jump into this fight to help just keep officers alive and thriving and learn more about this and also share what I went through, because I mean, I went through it. Might as well talk about it to help those. So I just started researching podcasts, and on YouTube, here comes this channel, Nick Off Duty.
Hey, now.
And then, and then found a donut shop podcast, reached out to Justin, and that was almost 3 years ago. And I'm just so glad and grateful to God that this is happening.
Yeah, yeah, and great. And we were saying that we try to do in-person podcasts as much as possible. It's just for the quality. We like to keep our quality high, and we don't have a budget to fly people out. And you were in North Carolina, correct?
Yeah, I was in North Carolina, but now I live in Florida. So I said, Justin, hey, man, I moved to Florida. I'll make a drive.
That's what we were going to try and do, like a video or Zoom podcast or like a Yardstream one.
Yeah.
And it just, it was always tough. And we tested that one out with Mike the cop, and it was good. But, you know, it's just like Nick was saying, we'd prefer people here. So, you know, yeah. I appreciate you saying, you know what, let's move to Florida because I want to get on the Donut Shop podcast.
The only reason.
So we're bringing people here. We're bringing people. Let's call DeSantis and say we've got the new marketing strategy to get people to move to Florida.
Donut Shop, baby.
Not because of the weather. Hey, I mean, right now in America, it's burning hot. We're just used to it. Just, you know, in Floridians, we're just like, isn't this summertime?
Yeah.
You know, and everybody else is melting, you know, so we're just used to being hot.
Yeah, I'm burning right now. I got a little sunburn yesterday. So if you do see me extra greasy, that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So to go back, you were Marine Corps, then you got out and then became a police officer?
Yes, I got out of the Marines and graduated college in 2007. And then, I mean, we're talking May, June, and then July, I was employed. And then from August to December of 2007, I went to rookie school.
Nice. Yep. And then how long were you a police officer before you decided to write all these successful books?
Well, the first one, Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, I actually wrote that one while I was still active. So that was a lot of early mornings, late evenings. Yeah. But I said, and that was right after I learned the suicide risk. And I said, I got to get something out quick. Just let's make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I acted as fast as I could. But then as the family situation kept evolving, and it just wasn't working out anymore. Schedule-wise, with me and my wife, our kids were taking the brunt of it. Mm-hmm. I said, we got to put family first. I mean, and so I did. I went to part-time policing from 2020 to 2022. When I moved down to Florida.
And this is when you were working at school, right? Or you were working at a university.
University, yep. Yeah, yeah. So from 07 to August of 2020, I was active in a city in North Carolina. And it was... Patrol was busy. I was in one of the busiest districts, and I learned a lot really fast, and I enjoyed staying busy. I worked as canine, and then issues came up with
that. You're retired now. You're allowed to talk about who you work for. You don't have to be like us.
You know what? If he's not saying it, we don't have to say it.
Yeah, no, I don't give away where I was, but anyway.
But that's good, though. Yeah. So we got on the same time. When did you get on? 2006?
05.
Oh, five.
Okay.
So he's got a little more time on us.
Oh, yes. Yes. But
I came out on 07 as well. So about the same tenure. And then, so you did K-9. Any other units that you worked for
After K-9, we can get to that story later when we dive into the mental health part of it. Yeah. But after K-9, I went into the schools. You know, I was really shocked just how much schools need school resource officers.
Yeah.
I'm not saying every school resource officer is busy. I knew some, they'd say, man, I got to pass the time somehow. I just walk the hallways, and that's all I do is just like having thoughts in my mind, you know, talking to myself. I'm so bored.
Yeah.
But I was put in a very busy middle school, or a lot of the high crime neighborhoods in the district where I had worked on patrol were in that, where a lot of the kids were in that school.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
I was busy.
And especially nowadays, and then now living and being in South Florida, we're, you know, kind of the forefront of some of the media coverage for some of that because of Stoneman Douglas. These SROs have to be like tier one elite, they're expected to be tier one elite operators,
yeah,
and then they're also supposed to be tier one elite hug kids.
Yeah, community give them officers.
Ice cream cones. Yeah. So, I mean, they have to be almost the most diverse of police officers, because talking three police officers here, we understand that not everybody fits all those roles, but that's what police departments need, is a lot of people in different various roles, and they can kind of take an average of it, but, you know, some people have to be better at some of it, and some of them excel more. You know, you might not see the SWAT guys that are really good at what they do that are going out and great at community. So yeah. The better ones can do that, but some of them just, it's just not a function. But, you know, so working in the schools is definitely very tough. And when you have to work by yourself, you have to be able to manage a lot of that. And it's, I found that it was fun. I mean, to get into my story with schools, I found that it was fun because you're not really an employee of that school. So they all have their chain of command that they're working on. So for me, I would get a lot of the gossip and a lot of the complaints, and I was that additional counselor that wasn't necessarily in their chain of command. So I wasn't reporting to their bosses, tattling on them or something like that. I was just helping them work things out, which was, you know, people just think, oh, you're there to protect the kids. Well, you're also kind of protecting the teachers from some of the stuff that they might be going through too.
100%
when the school's dealing. So, you know, I was an SRO, so, but I always got love for the SROs, cause they're, it's a big tough job.
I guess in the whole totality of being a police officer, it takes a toll, because if you are, let's say you're not that operator, right? And you're in the school because you're the community officer. Well, believe it or not, sometimes you have to be that operator. Mm-hmm. And if you're just not built for that, but you have to do it, here comes the mental health stuff. Mm-hmm. And that can take a toll on your on somebody psychologically. And then flip it, you're the operator. I just need to do police work, blah, blah, blah. I'm all about action. And then you have to do the other stuff. And it takes a little toll to get out of that shell.
Yeah.
Because you have to be somebody special. And I know I'm a police officer, so I don't want to be like, oh, you're just saying it because you're one police officer. You have to be somebody special to walk this path, because it takes a lot, and it takes restraint, and it takes the knowledge to say, you know what, I need to go this angle with this person. So you're, what is a psychologist, right? Mm-hmm. You're also the operator.
You're a therapist.
You're a therapist.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things you have to do, and
customer service.
It takes a special person, and sometimes it does take a toll, and you need different avenues, and that's why we're here, to talk about some of the avenues and realizing and noticing some of that. And when it's time to get some self-medication.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I noticed you talk, you go around and you also do these talks to police departments. Been around the nation?
I have. Yeah. Literally coast to coast.
Yeah. And I've saw some of the reviews, and the people speak very highly, and we're excited to get into this stuff. So
you are in Florida. You said you're getting a little tour. You're getting South Florida today, but just the other day you were over on the west coast of Florida.
That's true. We were in the Tampa area filming a documentary for police families.
Nice.
My wife and I are going to be part of that.
Nice.
And so this adventure is literally taking me all over the country. I mean, I'm going to Kansas in a week and a half. And then I'll be going to Pennsylvania. Vegas twice in 2 months. So yeah, you know, I'm traveling now.
So what is that, like guest speaker at conferences?
Mainly conferences.
Cool.
Yep. And can you attribute that this to the hustle, the marketing? Because that's also something I'm interested in, is how people get to where they're doing. Like, people are always interested. I'm a specialist in this, but I would love to speak places, but I don't even know where to start. You know, and here you are sitting on the podcast. And what was the path that you took once you decided, I'm going to write my first book? Now I have to get it out there. So what's some of the stuff that you would do to get your name out there?
Yeah, first thing you got to do is push past the fear.
Yeah.
There's a lot of unknown, and we as humans like what's certain. That's the way our brains are innately wired. And I didn't know this until I started researching, mainly for that first book.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to push past this unknown. There's going to be a lot of unknowns. There's going to be failure. You have to know that you will fail at something on this journey, and you will fail pretty bad at it. Mm-hmm. And it's just a matter of keep going and keep learning. And when I heard the quote from Jim Rohn, he passed away in 2009, but he's known for saying, formal education will make you a living, but self-education will make you a fortune. Mm. That's not always monetary. It can be with time, but as a person, you can become very rich on the journey, but you got to keep showing up.
Yeah.
Just because you have an idea doesn't mean people are going to come flocking to it. They have to know, well, what value do you bring? Why should I listen to you? And that's been hard to message, like the whole marketing business thing is because, I mean, I worked in law enforcement all these years. I had to, you know, communicate to get people to calm down or not fight or leave if they were a problem, and just, you know, take it, keep it cool. So it's been a lot of education about business and stuff like that as well. But also, it's been worth it, because to put out the books, to put out the videos, to put out, you know, show up at interviews and then speak in front of, I mean, at the cops conference, I spoke in front of hundreds of police officers, and to see them come up afterwards and shake your hand, and it's just like, some of them have this relief in their eyes, like, I don't have to feel this way. I don't have to be this burned out. Mm-hmm. I don't. Thank you for the hope, Scott. It's incredible. But for those getting started in it, yeah, push past the fear and just start learning and learn fast and keep showing up.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. You know, you go around, you do these talks. You ever get, so any officers ever reach out afterwards? And not maybe not the moment of, but later on, and they, or they send you a message, hey, I saw you 2 weeks ago, and man, I really, I'm telling you, I'm applying this stuff. And if you could speak a little bit on that, I mean, that, I think that'd be cool to hear.
Absolutely. No, some, I'll go a few days after a conference and not hear anything.
Yeah.
And the director will say, hey, you did a good job. And I'm like, oh, thank God, good.
Yeah.
But like one conference I spoke at, a lieutenant with a big police department, he calls and he says, hey, we're bulk ordering your book for all the rookies right now.
Oh,
I was like, oh, whoa. And he said, your speech really was a game changer. Oh, my. And then, I mean, I had someone reach out to me on LinkedIn the other day. He said, I've been following you. You don't know it, but I've been following you. You really helped me and my wife and our marriage. This is amazing. It's just, that's the reason to keep going right there.
Yeah.
When I realized I wouldn't be able to work in law enforcement anymore, I said, I'm going to work with law enforcement because I see the struggles out there. I mean, heck, I was still active in 2020 when all that went down.
Yeah.
And it was just like, we can be more of support to ourselves, and we don't have to be, surrender to the negativity all the time. We really don't.
No, it's a mindset.
It is.
And just not letting the cloud of negativity take over your mindset,
which is too easy to happen.
Yes,
it really is. You have to be vigilant about that stuff, because everyone thinks, well, I'm fine. I said that for the longest time. I wasn't fine by any means.
Yeah,
but it's good to hear, because there's stuff that we do things like this, right? And we'll put this out and we continue. Hey, what's the next one? Because it is a hustle. It is a hustle, because you have to continue to go and push, like you said. But this stuff gets out to people, and people enjoy what we do, and people listen to what we do. There's cameras here, but to be honest, I don't realize the impact that it has until one day you see somebody in the parking lot, or somebody reaches out to you, they send you a nice message, and this is just the humble sauce just gets poured all over you. Like, big yes, time. I'm so humbled by what we're doing. And, and if you're listening out there and you listen, long time listener to the show, thank you for listening. Much appreciated. And hearing from you guys just makes my day, and keeps that juice flowing, keeps that creative juice flowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to take a quick break, and then
see if we get this AC down, because I'm sweating.
We'll be right back.
Hey, what's up, guys? Just so you know, we created a Donut Shop Podcast Clips channel. Just clips, meat and potatoes, some of the best parts of each of our episodes are going to be over on that channel. You can go check it out. Hit the link down in our description. Like, follow, and subscribe, all the stuff over on that channel too. Help us out.
Scott, we're going to I want to focus on the mental health stuff, but we want to have you back for the 101 useful tips for rookie police officers. So we want to have you back on, and we're just going to have a very detailed podcast about that. So if you're aspiring police officer listening, stay tuned for that one. But we were saying that we should get some reels out of that one. That one's going to be good.
Yeah.
One of my most viewed videos is 5 things you should know before becoming a police officer.
Yes. That's a good video. I've watched it.
Yeah.
Actually, our videos rank sometimes beside each other.
Yeah.
And that's one of them.
That's a good one. And because people are out there trying to consume and listen to stuff to get prepared. It is, it's like I was telling people at work, it's like when you go on a vacation, or you want to go on a vacation. What do you do now? When you're like, oh, I want to go visit this place. Before you go, what are you doing?
You got to look at, you know, what opportunities there are for like touristy things or excursions, and then where are you going to stay?
Yep.
And oh wait, you got to drive around. What are you going to drive?
Yep. If you're doing that, a lot of these platforms are linked to each other. So if we're talking about you know, mugs, then Amazon is going to shoot mugs, or and Instagram is going to have mugs, or YouTube is going to be showing mugs. And so all this stuff is intertwined. And if you start searching for things, keywords, you're going to see it all over your phone. Mm-hmm. So when you are looking for something, you know, when you're a rookie or you're trying to apply, so it pushes that, it associates that, pushes it out. So people that are typing, looking for tips and tricks.
Or you start searching lapolicegear.com or galls.com and you're like looking at gear, like what am I, flashlights and stuff like that. Then it's like, oh, YouTube thinks you're going to want these videos.
Exactly. You know? So if you're in your little suggested videos, if you have a lot of twerking videos, watch out. We know what you've been up to.
it's so true. Like I'll look at like one of my wife, like she'll post like a lifting video in the gym or whatever, and then all of a sudden I just start getting, and I'm like no, I just I'm looking at my wife's video to give her the views and the like and the comment, way to go babe, and then now I'm getting all kinds of people. I'm like no, I don't need it.
There is a way, if pro tip, if you're on Instagram and you look at your explore page, you can click on one of the posts that or you're like, man, no, you can like I didn't want to see this, and you can hit don't suggest these type of videos.
Oh yeah,
see, so there is
help you out.
Yeah. So now that you know that, if you still have twerking videos, we know what you're up to.
Yeah. Why are you pointing at me?
I saw that Explorer page on break.
Or that's like what I do with my YouTube channels, is like I'll watch like gun stuff on one of them, camera stuff on another one of them, just to cultivate the algorithm and keep it centered.
Yes.
You know, because if you start mixing guns and cameras, YouTube doesn't understand that people can like those two things.
Yeah.
And
so let's get back to the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Enough of this twerking stuff. So the mental health stuff, we want to dive in. You want to maybe give a little experience on yourself and how you decide. I mean, you said you were struggling a little bit, and then you researched and you realized, man, suicide rate is the thing that kills officers the most, for lack of better words. Mm-hmm. You know, so you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I was 2 years into my career, mm-hmm. and I was being treated for addiction. Mm-hmm. And then I'm 9 years into the career, almost about, you know, my marriage is at a point where we've grown apart, and my wife looks at me and says, I'm thinking of doing this on my own. Like, our son was a year old. She's like, yeah. I'm thinking of doing this on my own. Mm-hmm. We don't need you. We got to that point. I know I'm giving you the short version.
That's okay. Yeah.
But there were times throughout the career where it was just these unexpected problems, and I had to get professional assistance or else I was going to continue to go down a horrible road. And this is coming from a guy who I was serving in my hometown. Mm-hmm. I interned at the police department my senior year in high school. I had to wait 6-7 years before I eventually started working there. I mean, it was like the planets were aligning. Yeah. I was just, and people were saying, you're going to be captain, major. You've got the personality for it, the leadership traits. I'm like, yes, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And here I am battling this stuff.
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one. I really did. Now, don't get me wrong. I would put on a smiling face for everyone because I wanted to show up good for everyone else. But I was struggling hard. So I figured, you know what? Might as well talk about it. Because there's others going through it. And if they feel like they're alone, maybe I can relate to them and then point them towards a solution. And that's when I started writing Mental Health Fight of the Heroes in Blue, where I basically prove we're not fine. we're people, and we have to work on ourselves. Because if you don't work on yourself each and every day, you're not growing as a person. It's the same thing as a plant. When a plant is done growing, what does it do? It dies.
It does, yeah.
We have to grow. We might be walking around, but if we're not growing as individuals, then it's way too easy to let the negative, whether that be a horrific call you went on or just how toxic it is within the four walls of the police department, whatever negativity will just suck the energy out of you.
Yeah.
If you're not working on you, it becomes that much easier and that much more damaging. But I open up the book by proving you're not as tough as you think. I mean, we're not invincible. We have to accept the fact that we are human beings. You will feel fear. You will feel confusion. You will have emotions that generate negative actions if you're not careful. And I break it down that the brain is innately wired just to help us survive.
Yep.
It's not designed to make us happy. I wish someone would have told us that when we were in the rookie school. Be like, in this job, we'll chew you up and spit you out if you're not careful. So after I got done breaking down the human aspect of it, that we you know, have been around for years, but our brains still have the default wiring of caveman period.
Yeah.
You're just in survival mode. But the thing is, when you're in survival mode and you're going through the job of working as a police officer, you can really run the risk of living in a state of stress, and your body is still in that reactionary mode, cortisol, adrenaline being fired off, all from thinking about stuff that's negative that you're exposed to consistently. And then I dove into the awareness of the main things we're dealing with: depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, alcoholism, which it's so easy to mask alcoholism now because you can go to a sporting event and everyone else is drinking. You can just blend right in.
Yep.
Or we kind of embrace drinking as a way to cope in law enforcement. It's it's not a method of coping. I hate that we even lie to ourselves and say that it is. It's a depressant. It's a psychedelic drug. It's not a way to cope and build our brain up for better health. And I go into these things and I go over the signs and symptoms because I was going through some of these things and I didn't know they were severe, like the hypervigilance. I'd go out in public and my wife would be like, "Why are you looking around so much?" Oh. And I just thought, I'm being aware.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what there is. But I was being hypervigilant to the sense that I wasn't mentally present to the people I was with, including my own wife.
Yeah.
And many police officers can relate to that. I didn't know that was a sign of post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know. So I go into all these signs and symptoms, not for anyone to memorize them, but to be just more assessing of yourself and be honest with yourself. Because when you walk into a doctor's office, if you were to say, "I'm sad," they're not just going to say, "Hey, here's some happy pills. Good luck."
Yeah.
No, they're going to ask a little bit more questions.
Yeah.
If it's a good doctor.
Yeah, for the right
place. Yeah, if it's a good doctor. So we need to assess how we're doing. That's why I wrote about the signs and symptoms. And then all throughout the book, I remind people, this is not all doom and gloom. This is not all serious. We will get to solutions. And I do in the later part of the book.
Yeah.
And I talk about things that are not very popular in America. A lot of people know about them, but they don't actively practice them.
What's some of those things?
Absolutely. Yes. One of the first ones I mentioned is meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some people are going to be like, "Nope, click next video, next show." No. Stick with me.
Yeah.
The last 4 years of my police career, after having to resign from the canine unit to save my marriage, which was so hard, I sank mentally because I let my identity get wrapped up in that job.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't view myself as Scott. I viewed myself Scott, the canine officer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So losing the dog, losing the assignment, and then going into the schools where I wasn't even around my teams anymore from patrol, it was a lot. And I heard about guided meditations. And I was like, whatever. I'm 35 years old. Why the heck do I need to meditate? That's boring.
Yeah.
It's not going to do anything for me. And finally, someone said, "Drop your ego and start." So I did.
Yeah.
What I learned was I started attaching emotions to memories of something I wanted to create in my future over time. And it's just like going to the gym. You go 1, 2, 3 times, you're not going to see a physical change.
Yeah.
But it's just the same with meditation. You got to consistently show up. After a few weeks of doing this, I started actually feeling emotions because of those positive images of a future I wanted to create, knowing what I had to create to save my marriage and repair my family dynamic, but also realizing I'm not going to be able to work in law enforcement much longer. What can I do afterwards? And it just built a lot of clarity. And there were times when I would meditate and it wasn't necessarily the images. It was just the ability just to breathe and relax. Fully relaxed.
Let me ask you about the meditation. So people might not. So like, do I go to a class? Are there candles and rocks, or can I do this in my bedroom? Like, yep. where? Like, what do you suggest? What's the best place for you when you meditate?
For me, it's just a room where there's no one else, and it can be quiet. Like, I have to wake up before my family wakes up, or else it's not quiet. I've got 2 boys, and they're 7 and 5. It's not going to be quiet when they wake up. I got to wake up early to make the time for it. All I do is 10 to 15 minutes a day, a YouTube channel or YouTube video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quote free. You know, yeah, you're paying for internet, but whatever. You get the point. And nothing complicated.
You put music on?
I do guided meditations because...
Okay, so what is guided meditation?
Guided meditation is where someone will say, focus on 3 moments that you're grateful for.
Mm.
Rather than just playing peaceful music and sitting there for 10 minutes and letting your mind go wherever.
Yes.
Right.
It's better for officers to actually do a guided meditation because, yeah, our minds can wander to some very bad places because we've seen bad things and been bad places and been exposed to just the worst that someone can be exposed to. So I recommend guided.
Mm-hmm.
They'll talk about gratitude. They'll have you focus on your breath because, believe it or not, we typically, particularly if we live in survival mode, we're not taking in as much oxygen as we need to help calm our bodies down. That was very shocking to me when I was researching this stuff. And
okay, so yeah, so you just search that on YouTube, guided meditation, then you just kind of find maybe you'll pick one out after you check a few out that you just, someone's voice might kind of lend to your
exactly. You got to find which channel works for you. Mm-hmm. And, but over time, it's amazing how you start to live a life based on a future you want to create, not being held back by the emotions and stories of your past, which I'm not trying to discount them. It obviously takes a toll on you.
Yeah.
But why not start to think about something a little bit more positive other than going into work and immediately thinking about the negative, whether it's the outside factors or the inside factors?
That is something that I try to tell people, and you do it more eloquent than I do, and I use the word eloquent to say that I don't know how to talk.
Eloquently.
But I try to tell people that, too. I'm like, man, like, why? Why are you letting that bother you? Like, what is that? What's going to come out of that? Like, if nothing, then don't let it bother you. Basically, it's like if you have no control over it, don't let focus on the positive. Focus on what you can control. That little thing is just eating up your day. And then now you come to work and blah, 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 blah. Or you're living at home just blah, 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 for no reason. For no reason. So but life is a ride, right? You got the ups.
Oh, yeah.
You got the downs.
You do.
All right? But a ride's supposed to be fun. In my view, I say the ride is supposed to be fun. Enjoy the up, enjoy the down, because guess what? There's going to come a turn. It's going to be a straightaway. It's going to slow down, and you got to get off. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, man, enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Enjoy it.
I love that line where it says, laugh, enjoy, or don't take life too seriously because nobody makes it out alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So true.
Yeah. And then you're gone. So while you're here, make the best of it.
Yeah.
That's why, I mean, I've been really focused on family and enjoying my little, because that's happiness for me. So enjoying those moments and really slowing down when I can, and then be what you said, present. You know, you weren't present because you were hyper vigilant. So just, I try to be more present nowadays. That's what I'm trying to get at.
Because Penny just turned five.
Five,
dude. Five.
Yeah.
I remember when she was a little, when she was nothing.
And she was nothing.
she was not even there. five. Five. Now she's a little.
So to close off on the meditation, so guided meditation is suggested.
It's working
best for you right now.
Very much so. Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break and get into those other forms that you have. I know you said there's other things that you want to get out there. And then anything else we want to talk about after that. But I'm really interested in that and the meditation. And you want to say any close on that with the guided meditation stuff?
At first, your brain's going to be like, what are you doing? Because our brain's like what's normal, and it always seeks to conserve energy. So when you're doing something new, even if you're doing something that's bad for you, hey, the brain's familiar with it. It's easier to do that thing, whatever it may be, whether it's drinking or whatever else.
Yeah.
You're going to have that moment. You have to fight through it. Same thing as going to the gym. You're going to feel that pain, but no pain, no gain. So stick with it, and eventually you start to think differently, which leads you to feeling differently. A heck of a lot worth it.
Yeah, man.
So, in like you said, 15 minutes a day, or
that's the most I do because some people do an hour and a half. My brother does that, and I don't see how he does it, but I'm good.
We've got time for that.
Yeah. but it's amazing if you make something a priority. All of a sudden, there's time for it.
Yeah, of course.
Of
course. But, that's don't tell my wife. You got a schedule.
Don't tell that to my wife. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, come here. Come here.
No.
Bring it in real close. I got something for you. Did you subscribe yet? Right down there. Hit that subscribe button and the bell notification because you got to know when we're going to give you a show. Do it. Go now. Go now. I'm waiting. Come on. Right there. All right. Back to the show.
And we're back.
Yeah.
So huge. And just a testament to what you've done and how you applied it to yourself, right? Filling your mind and training your mind to think of positive stuff and things that you want, you'll get there. It's crazy. You'll get to where you want to go. You just have to believe in it.
Yeah.
That's, and I don't know if, and I contribute this, and I thank my father for this, because he always would tell me, you're the best. You're the best. You're the best. And whenever I was little playing baseball, you're the best. Nobody's better than you. To where I believed that I was the best. And then I excelled in the stuff. And not maybe because not I'm, that I'm the best, but I believed in it. And that mindset has taken me through. I could tell you I never got recruited for college baseball. Whatever the scouts, I guess they didn't think I was good enough. I walked on to every school that I went to, and I started once I was on the team. I tried out for a comedy show. I think it was Florida's Funniest Comedian. Crushed because I believed I was the best. But I didn't win. Politics, or, you know, I can say I crushed. All I can say is I did good, but I didn't win.
Right.
You want to talk and gossip, you know, and say politics. Somebody who won, who's been there for a long time. Long story short, I did my own comedy show a year later. Sold out the improv. Did that the following year and sold out the Magic City Casino. 700 people came to see. So, because I didn't give up. I got knocked down and I was like, nope, gonna keep going. The YouTube stuff, all of this stuff, I just keep going. And that's the whole mindset. Yeah. I know I can get there. And to be honest, I look back at everything that I've done, and this is not about me. You're here to talk about this stuff, but it just coincides and it validates what you're talking about. I look back at everything that I've done, and I feel like I'm nowhere near where I need to be. But when I stop and look back, I'm like, wow. Mm-hmm. You're talking about I go around the country and all this. I'm like, how am I sitting here? I'm like, wow, look at all this stuff that I've done. And I need to celebrate that because I'm so caught up in like, I suck. I got to get back. Nobody, you know, I'm never going to be where I want to be. Go. But I have done accomplishments. So pat on my own back. But it's just a testament to the book. So to continue, we talked about meditation, right? So guided meditation.
Guided meditation.
Yep. What are some other things?
Yeah. This is typically the time when people change the video or change the whatever when I say this, but yoga.
Yoga. All right, I'm out.
Yep, exactly.
I'm just kidding.
I always tell people, though, if you don't want to do that power yoga stuff, you say, you know, I like to work out by lifting weights or CrossFit or 9 round, whatever the case may be, then at least stretch. Mm-hmm. The police uniform is just chronic stress on the body. And chronic stress is that stress where you don't see it at first, and it's just like that slow drip effect. Yeah. On your body, and eventually the knee pain starts, or the lower back pain starts, or wherever. And some guys are like, "Oh, whatever. I wear the new TAC vest, and it feels comfortable."
Yeah,
it's still weight on your body. Let's stop it with the excuse.
It's up on your shoulders, exactly. Where it's not on your waist now, and now we're gonna see
bad back.
Yeah,
well, not anymore.
Yeah, bad back, and mm-hmm. so to count, you know, to add to that, yoga. I don't do yoga, but I've always, or at least. In my later years of having a bad back, learn to stretch.
Yes.
And that's a huge thing. So to point out, stretching, because I herniated a disc, and so it was always pulling on the hamstrings. Yeah. And so that's the biggest thing, is your hamstrings lead to your back, to your butt, lead to your back. And so stretching those things is huge. And so yoga does that. And then and I know from professional soccer players that do yoga, those guys are hurt less than just guys that are out there. A little stretch, you know, and they're not getting it, you know. And then to the mental aspect side of it, you know, my wife's had a couple little, you know, minor surgeries, but then I mentally stress out and my back will be perfectly fine the week before. But when I know she's coming into that surgery, my back goes, whoop, and so it's that stress. And so if it's not the job, it's the personal life that's causing your back to hurt. And then I go to work and it's like, oh. All right. I can't sit too long, or I can't, you know, so the mental health of it is, it goes right into those muscles.
Yeah.
So and that's what I'm doing, is I'm working out now. So it repairs itself faster, mm-hmm. and the stretches get more efficient. and they're better for those muscles so that you're not hurting. Sorry, not trying to
steal. To your point,
you hit
the nail on the head.
Yeah.
We are connected from head to toe. Mm-hmm. And if you're healthy up here, it'll lead you to be more open to stretching. And then when you stretch, you're physically better, which can help your mindset because you're not focused on the pain you're going through. You can focus on how to build your life or focus on, you know, whatever you need to do to get done for the day rather than focus on, oh, my back, which stresses out your mind.
Yeah.
Yep. We're connected head to toe. And I started doing the yoga about, I don't know, maybe 11, 12 years into the career. And I was sick and tired of being stiff in that uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And I started doing the yoga, and about after 3 months, it's like, man, I'm coming up mid to late 30s, and I'm feeling pretty good in uniform. I mean, I'm feeling a lot better than what I was. And I was toning up, and these young guys would come on 21, 22 years old, and I'm in better shape than they are. And I just refuse to be that officer to complain about I'm getting too old for this. Yeah. I just refuse to do that. And just stretching helps so much, but it was also the mental health. But my yoga coach, who I've met in person, Sean Vig, I will give a shout out to Sean Vig because in my opinion, he makes yoga not as boring as a lot of people say. You know, I don't want to do the whole thing. No, he gets right to it and he's entertaining with it. Not too formal about it by any means. But he says it very well. When you're flexible, you feel younger, and flexibility equals youth. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to trust this man and go with it. And I can't recommend it enough. And you know what? To anyone watching, listening, whatever, if you're thinking, man, if the SWAT guys know I'm doing that, like my fellow operators know I'm doing, they're going to make fun of me. I can't be doing that. You know, okay, you don't have to tell anyone you're doing it. You actually don't have to tell everyone stuff that you do all the time, whether it be social media or just by talking about it. You can keep it in secret.
It is a novel thing in today's day and age that everything you do doesn't have to get posted on your Instagram story or your social media feeds.
Yep.
You know, you can just do something. You don't have to talk about it at lunch. You can, you know.
I'm posting a downward dog.
Yeah. But I mean, in my frame of mind, that kind of stuff, I feel like sometimes sharing that stuff and saying to those guys that may be naysayers, no, it's fine. You go do you, bro. I'm doing me.
Right.
And this is fun because if I reach that one person that follows my social media and says, oh, I should go do that, and it helps.
Yeah.
I'd take one of those over five of those guys that are like,
absolutely.
Right,
you
know. I know not everybody's like it, but I don't care about what the SWAT guys. I love you guys, but I don't care what you think of me. Obviously, I'm, hey, Florida, vote for the Florida with a mullet on. I have a mullet on and I'm dancing in little shorts. I really don't care. But anyways, but some people do, and it's okay. Yeah. You don't have to wear the stretchy pants, even though you like to wear the tight yoga. yoga pants. I'm just saying.
I would tell you, someone with leg hair.
Yeah.
Wearing pants when you're on the yoga mats, because yoga mats tend to be a bit like sticky. Sticky would be the wrong word, but like an actual true yoga mat, it holds your form, so you're not sliding all over it. Like especially if you get sweaty, it pulls on your leg hairs.
So
interesting. I never noticed that.
I don't wear stretchy pants, but I'll wear like joggers.
Let me
stretchy pants.
All right, I'm another fun fact, and we can clip this for a reel too. But did you know that? Okay, because I got upset on some things that got taken down on YouTube. However, you can search naked yoga, and they're allowed naked yoga
because it's an art form. That.
Yes. Yeah. So there is people stretching naked on YouTube with no blurs.
I think
whatever works for you. We're trying to get the mind right here.
Yeah. I think 13-year-old Nick texts me that one day, super excited.
Yeah.
Like we were both 13-year-olds and you figured out to de-scramble your HBO on TV.
Well, because I was little, I'm like, really? This stuff gets taken down.
Yeah.
You can't talk about the gun range. But I can see somebody stretching, doing a downward dog, and butt naked, you know, in all their glory. So what I'm just saying is that fun fact. While we're talking about this stuff, all right, let's get back to the
book. And I'm sorry I didn't write about yoga in the book.
I've been looking for the naked yoga stuff. It ain't in here.
You got to check the index.
All right. So yoga helps.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga helps. Everything's connected. If there's like 100 things.
No, there's not. Okay. That's what 101 health tips for police officers was about. I pretty much hit some basics in that one, the first book. And then I thought, you know what? There's just we're all different, mm-hmm. and there's just so many things out there. So yes. I started researching, and I was just like, man, I could write 101 things. So yeah. That's what started the second book.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Mental Health by the Heroes in Blue is just kind of a broad, general,
yeah.
Here are some techniques that aren't practiced a lot,
yep.
and people need to make time for them, because it can literally change your life for the better. Even if you're going through a hard time, you'll have a different outlook, or at least you'll feel physically better going through it. Yeah, because mm-hmm. life hits everybody.
Was there anything else on the yoga that you wanted to tap into? Because we got into the naked stuff.
We got naked.
Yeah.
Remember, we're connected head to toe. So yeah,
absolutely.
One of the quotes I like is strong mind, strong body, strong body, strong mind. Yeah. And if you don't want to do the power yoga workouts, which they're actually tougher than what most people would think.
Yeah.
Just stretch. You have to stretch. It reduces the injury, reduces anxiety. It can help your sleep. And that's all very important things going through law enforcement.
You going to a class, or are you doing this just at home?
Just on YouTube.
Like a YouTube? Okay.
Yep. YouTube University, baby.
I know even the Apple Watch, like I subscribe to the full Apple suite of all the stuff that you can get,
mm-hmm.
and they have the fitness section, and you can pull it up on my Apple TV. So maybe I'll start doing some yoga.
So we're talking 15 minutes of guided meditation. How long yoga?
I'll typically go 20, 30 minutes.
20, yeah. 30 minutes. Okay. What we got next?
We need to be careful of who we're around.
Yes.
We need to.
Yes.
Bottom line, mm-hmm. I was, like I had said earlier, I got to my hometown police department, finally employed after just dreaming about it for 6 years, all while going through college and going through the Marines and getting deployed. I would even have their hometown patch in my chest pocket,
mm-hmm.
In my Marine Corps uniform, just like, this is the goal.
Nice.
And when I finally got sworn in December of 07, I was just like, yes, dream come true.
Yeah.
Guys, a little after a year of working there, I quit and went to another department.
Really?
I got in with such a negative group that they negatively influenced me. I made a negative decision, and there were negative consequences, and I own it to this day. But that was my huge wake-up, as you essentially are who you're around most of the time.
Yep.
And we have to be careful of that, in the sense of, as one of my favorite motivational speakers, Les Brown, says, you hang around losers, chances are you're going to be a loser. We need to lift each other up, not talk bad about everything all the time.
Yeah.
I hate I had to go through that, but I did, and I learned from it, and I was never infected again by it.
Some of the things they would say? Some of the...
Oh, this department's a sinking ship. Mm-hmm. If I could go somewhere else, I would. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And looking back on it, I'm like, why didn't you act on your misery? And not for it, but on it, in the sense of going towards a solution.
Yeah.
Just whatever. But that's
the truth.
Like, yeah.
Do something about it.
Yeah.
That's the way... You're crying. I don't want to hear the crying. What's the problem? What's the solution? Go work towards that. And if you're not doing that, get out of my way. Yeah, I don't want to.
Exactly.
I don't
want to deal with that. And it goes in waves, and I see it in my own place right now. You know, and so you know, people want to blame it's the chief's fault. It's this fault.
Yeah.
It's like no, man. You're the one that puts the uniform on. You're the one that gets in the car. You're the one that goes and handles it. Why did you start this job? Did you start this job to get? Because you wanted the chief to be able to piss you off, or you start this job to get out there and have a good time and be a police officer.
There's I think I've said this now like 5 times on this podcast. The best quote I've probably ever heard about police officers, Chief Delvish Moss. Now,
congrats on that
again. Second time
in Miramar.
He was sitting right where you were in the garage. He went on the Wayne's World set. So he's sitting there and he says, "There's two things that cops hate." When things change and when things stay the same.
Yeah, totally. Dude, it's
so accurate.
Everything. It's like, man, what a great quote. And shout out to him. I milk that quote, sir. I milk it. I love it.
We got to have him visit again.
Yeah, he's got to come back on.
Good for him. Yeah, it with some of that stuff, I find, and I've said it a little bit lately at work, is when it's not busy outside and we're not focused on a goal or a crime trend, or it's getting dangerous.
There's no
big mission out there. Then we end up sometimes turning the cameras or turning the weapons towards ourselves and start eating ourselves. And I've had some people argue that with me and say that that's not correct, but I'm going to always believe that we're you know, we're like problem solvers a lot of times, and we're trying to solve people's problems outside. But when, you know, it's just smooth sailing out there.
Yeah.
We start creating problems inside and trying to, and pretending like we're fixing them inside. And
yeah.
We kind of realize that we may not be that good at fixing problems sometimes.
No.
Inside. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up as I go right now.
Insightful.
But,
for sure.
Yeah. But that's the dangerous. That's another mental health problem that creates is internally the infighting.
Yeah.
Or the change,
yeah,
sometimes gets people upset and gets people fighting.
So the poisonous people, stay away.
Yeah,
you want to
go. Well, if you're surrounded by negativity at work,
yeah,
without being too pushy, just I guess try to be that light in the room.
Yeah,
but if it's still not working, then it's all the more reason outside of work to find a group of people who are not like the ones at work. Like, you can be like, so many cops would say, well, I have friends outside of work. Okay, what quality of friends do you have outside of work? Yeah. Are they being negative just as much as the people at work are being? You're not helping yourself out. There are literally mastermind groups you can join now. And yeah, some of them cost, but you invest in your own self. It's not a purchase, in my opinion. You're investing. Yeah. And, I mean, people spend thousands of dollars to go to college to get a degree they might not even use, but nobody, you know, says anything about that, but you join a group and pay money to be part of people who think about how to achieve something, and people are like, well, are you crazy? Why would you spend money on that? No, I beg to differ. If that's what it takes, then do it. Anything to, because you are going to be who you're around, and if you are around negativity a lot, well, then you have to make that much an effort to fight back and say, I'm going to be around some people who help me grow as a person outside of work, so I don't let the negativity at work pull me down, because it did me. And I never want to go through something like that again. That was awful.
Yeah, that's good. And then when you moved on, did you see the light? Like, or was it that made you move on? Like, I don't want to be around these people. I'm out. Or something happened. You left, and then you're like, oh wait, the grass is greener.
No, the grass wasn't greener. It was just like I made a bad mistake. Uh-huh. I left for all the wrong reasons, and a lot of them weren't even true. Mm-hmm. And 8 months later, the hometown department took me back. The administration that I didn't speak too highly of, they were all in that oral board interview to hire me back. That was a 90-minute oral board where they chewed me out. I deserved it 100%.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to make sure that I wanted to come back, all for the right reasons, and was really desiring it. And I still think I hold the record for the longest oral board at the department.
Wow.
I'm not, probably shouldn't be proud of, but anyway, well, it was 90 minutes. But they took me back. I never had the same perspective again. Never did. Now, would I complain at times? Absolutely. But never got sucked into it like I did the first year.
So we don't know the agency. What were some of the things that you got chewed out of? you don't have to go there. So keep the positive mindset. Stay around. Try to identify the positive people. Identify the negative people, because sometimes you don't even know. That you're like, yeah, forget this place. Like, wait, what am I doing right now?
Yeah.
I look at everything my agency has given me, and actually I contribute my passion for what we're doing here, but sitting here and being able to do this stuff, I was able to find a way in the department, which grew me on the outside as well. So
yep,
I contribute everything. And then also the police work that I've done and the you know, the stuff that I've done outside, the salary that the agency pays me, I'm able to provide for my family. So it's all good stuff. You have to look at the good and not only the negative. So identifying the negative people and that yourself, like, wow, I'm here. And look at wow, I got the poopy all over me. I got to get rid of all this stuff because it's contagious. Yeah. So the negative people, that was one thing, get away. So we got now the meditation guided. I'm gonna try this stuff, by the way.
There we go.
I'm just looking at the time because I'm like, all right, I got to see what time I got to wake up. That's another thing. People are like, I don't have time for yoga or stretching, or I don't have time for that. So
make it,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that little bit, an hour or 45 minutes of, I don't know what else you have in there. Like, I don't know if there's brush your teeth for 20 minutes coming up. So
also important.
Yeah.
Very true.
So So let's say 40 minutes of your day you dedicate that will help you get through the 23 hours and 20 minutes, the rest of it, in a positive mindset, and you'll have a good day. So we got, not to keep going, not to keep talking, but what else? What do we got after that?
Let me bring up something that you mentioned right quick about the brushing teeth for 20 minutes. If you do it, go for it. Now, but you're talking about the crap all over, so we got to clean it off.
Yeah.
I point out in the book, I learned about the reticular activating system when I was doing my research. And there are a lot of people who have heard this because it's on YouTube. But don't worry necessarily remembering the term. Just know that our brain has a filter that basically brings everything to our conscious mind that's important to us. Like you're actively going to be thinking about it. If we actively were aware of everything, every piece of sensory information that our brains take in, we would go crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, thousands upon thousands of sensations and thoughts and stuff like that. So most common example is, have you ever bought a car and then all of a sudden you see that car on the road a lot more than previous?
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
There you go. But it is because your brain is now aware of it and it was of priority to you. So your brain focuses on stuff that will attract what's important to you. So if you want to focus on negativity, by gosh, your brain's going to go to work for all the negative things. If you want to focus on being stronger and how can I grow more resilient, by God, your brain's going to go to work for you. And the thing is, you have the ability to change because your brain can rewire itself as you pick up new thoughts and emotions and actions and results because of those actions. So that's a reason to apply this stuff, because your brain will go to work for you through the power of the filter, the RAS, but at the same time, that your mind will tear you down the same way.
Yeah.
And it'll do it a lot easier than it is to build up. But another thing I talk about when it comes to making sure that the thoughts and everything that you need to do to help yourself and your brain and your character grow is journaling. And here's another thing where people are like, nope, stop, click, next video. But when I was going through depression, I was seeing the psychologist for 9 months, and he eventually said, Scott, I can only do so much for you.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do the work.
Yep.
And I just looked at him like, oh, my gosh. Like, I mean, I'm really glad he was honest about that.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going to give you an exercise to do, and I don't know if your brain's ready for it. He said, this will change you. I don't know if your brain's ready for it, but we're going to do it anyway because you need to change. I mean, he said it so well. I was like, wow, this is amazing. He said, at the end of the day, I want you to write down 3 things you're grateful for. I don't care if it's a crappy day. You think of something and you have to write it down in complete sentences. I am grateful for yada, yada, yada. I am grateful for whatever I am grateful for. 3 times. You want to do it more? Go ahead. So I said, that doesn't sound like it's going to work at all. After 30 days, what do you know? My brain started focusing on some of the blessings I had in my life a heck of a lot more than what it did. And it goes beyond just, a lot of people know about the whole write down what you're grateful for, but now you can start writing down what goals you want to achieve, and you can write down like 10 of them and then say, all right, what 3 goals can I work on today or something like that. When you write it down, it makes it that much more intentional, but also more permanent in your brain. So far as like signing a contract, it just makes it permanent.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. It's just more dynamic other than the fleeting thought. So that's what I talk about as well.
I've been doing that a lot lately just with work, because I have a lot of projects on burners, and I'm sure Nick can speak to that too. Got everything on simmer, and it's like, oh, I can get this one. So I do a lot of writing down now, and it's goals basically for my day. I just put the date at the top, and it's almost like a daily log for officers. Went to this address, handled domestic, you know, like, and you keep a log.
Yep.
So now sometimes when the bosses might come around and say, because we've had a lot of change, what do you do on a daily basis? Oh, actually, I can go through that. You see all these things that I scribbled through? Those are all finished as I went through. And then I just, if I didn't get that goal finished, I'm not upset about it, because I'm like, okay, there's Tuesday. Now there's Wednesday. And I just move that over to the next page. And it just, it helps me feel like, all right, I'm getting something done, but then also kind of keeps me focused throughout the day. And it helps with my in work mental health, where I'm not just sitting there at the computer all day, just.
Yeah.
No,
scrolling through or whatever, or like, let me, oh, I got to buy some stuff on Amazon, you know, and you forget. But then you, by the end of the day, you're like, I didn't get anything done. So now I'm seeing those lines go through, goal accomplished, small things. But sometimes it's a big one that's been moved over a couple times because I'm like slowly working on it. And then, whoa, big time. That's done.
Yep,
so I just have a notebook and I just keep turning the page, and you know, and I write my little notes, a phone call, a phone number gets written on there. Got to call that guy back, circle it, you know, done. There we go. Goal done, you know, and they're all just goals for me. So it's big. It helps.
So journaling and then having a directed thing to write about. So you don't just journal and be like, you know, today, me, I didn't like Susie the way she cooked this stuff.
Right, focusing on the negative.
So we're focusing on the positive stuff that we're grateful for, and then eventually get to those goals, and it's just training the mind. The mind is super powerful.
It really is.
Super powerful.
It really is. But it's amazing how, as powerful as it is, it can only focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah.
One thing at a time.
That's why we're going to get the Neuralink from Elon Musk and get that AI in our brains.
Right.
Plug that in the back.
I want to give a shout out because I have to give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to journaling, the Rise Journal by Kwesi Millington is very good for law enforcement, but anyone in general. Kwesi was a Royal Mounted Canadian Police officer for 2 years, but then basically an incident went down. And then through the investigation, he got charged for something he didn't do, and he actually was incarcerated.
Oh my gosh.
And he wrote and wrote and wrote all while during, I think, 2 years in prison to help keep his mind clear.
Mm-hmm.
Thus now when he's open and talking about that, he published the Rise Journal. So there's a tool for you.
So that's something you can get on like Amazon or something.
Absolutely. Yep. The Rise Journal. Yep.
And it's just, is it like guided?
It is guided. Okay. I'm grateful for, I can, or I am, or like my intention for the day. Because if sometimes some people, if they don't get a list done, it makes them less confidence in yourself. But if they set it as an intention, it's like you still intend on doing it. You can probably still get it done.
Yeah.
So he phrases it like that. But it's he opens up with his story in the beginning of the journal, which is pretty powerful.
You're journaling not on your phone, correct. Not on the computer.
Correct.
This is paper to pen.
Yep, you have to.
Okay.
Yep, you have to. That's the only way it works. And I learned that if you do it in blue ink, apparently it's easier on the eyes and lowers your body's stress level. So blue ink, interesting. But yeah.
Look at that. I love those fun facts.
In today's day and age, I still think it's good to handwrite stuff because my handwriting has gotten worse over time.
Yes,
because
mine too.
Try to do some cursive.
Oh,
get out of here. No, it's done.
I don't think I could ever do cursive well.
the only reason why I know how to write a cursive Z is because my last name is Perez.
Yeah.
So that's because I do it so much.
Uh-huh.
But I was watching Billy Madison the other day, and he's in school trying to do the Z, and he's like... So I was like, oh man, that's true. The only reason why I know. But yeah, so pen to paper. Yep. Blue.
Have to.
Great fun fact. I do naked yoga on YouTube, and you're like, here's something that's actually helpful.
You de-stress by watching naked people stretch.
No, I just thought it was interesting that it was on there. My wife is listening. I don't watch naked yoga on YouTube.
Anymore.
Okay, what else we got?
That's pretty much it.
Okay,
in the first book regarding the solutions, there is one more. Mm-hmm. And this is very important, and this is one of those where most people are going to say, no, this isn't me, but you'd be surprised that it is.
So if you're still here,
if you're still with me after meditation, yoga, journaling, all that woo-woo stuff, you can't wrap up your value in your career as to who you are.
Oh.
It's so easy to do in law enforcement. And you may have heard this argument before, whether it be in the studio or cops listening saying, yeah, people tell me that. But if I were to ask you, you know, okay, well, you break your leg. What are you going to do? Most of them wouldn't know what they're going to get into because nobody sees their law enforcement. No one sees their law enforcement career coming to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't an abrupt end for me, but it was a surprise where, I mean, I was dedicated. I was going to go the full 30.
Yeah.
And I wanted to work my way up. And then all of a sudden, boom, a family dynamic that I never thought would ever happen. I mean, it happened. So I learned it the hard way when I had to resign from K-9.
Yeah.
Because that was my identity. But it's just the mere fact of what you do in your life is not as important as who you are. Who you are will get you through the challenges. And who you are will be... they are waiting on you whenever you're not in law enforcement one day.
Yeah.
And you have to know who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And please don't let the career be your guiding light as to who you are. Just don't let it become your identity. I can't beg that enough in officers. And if you find that it is, I challenge you to reframe your thinking.
Yeah.
Focus like, who am I regarding my strengths, my weaknesses? What do I feel called to do? Because like I said, there will be a day when you don't work in law enforcement and so many unfortunately get out and they feel lost.
So, exercise, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to put the car in park, close your eyes, and say, if I'm not a police officer, only if you're a police officer, but if I'm not a police officer, who am I?
Yeah.
That's what you need to, and if you can answer that, I think you're okay. If you're like, man, what am I besides a police officer? Shit, I got to figure this out. You know,
so and you will, yeah, and you can.
And it, I mean, it works to anything. Because I was just talking to a friend last night, and she said, "Yeah, I've been real depressed lately because I lost my job." And you want to kind of slap them on the back and go, "Hey, you ever seen all these help wanted signs? You know." But so whatever you do,
yeah,
who am I if I'm not doing this job anymore? If you work in corporate America,
this is Justin's exercise. Yeah. Now, Justin, what do you want them to do? It.
Put the drink down.
And then he's going to slap you on the ass. This is what he said.
Get back out there.
Get back out there. Help wanted signs.
Get back out there, champ. And get
there
to
you go.
Get to work.
So.
Stop it.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think we should co-write a book.
Okay. And put
first chapter of Justin, slap that ass and get back out there.
So you said you were going to touch on it later, and you brought it back up.
Yeah.
A canine story. And we can kind of wrap with this.
Yeah, well,
do the canine story and then.
Yeah, but to go back and before we hit that, and just to, you know, not joking, no more jokes. It's true. If you're caught up and you're, it's okay to like your job. If you enjoy being a police officer and you enjoy putting on a uniform, you should. And
yeah.
You should take pride in doing that. And it's okay to do that. We're not saying not to do that. We're saying that you need to not make that your whole identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to be proud. And it's okay to have it as part of your identity. But you need to have your own self, because one day that job is, it's going to be gone. So yeah. That's all I wanted to say about that, because I believe true in that. And anecdotal anecdote. So first 3-4 years, you know, you go through the academy, you shave your head like I have it now, and then you come out and you're just full of piss and vinegar, and you're out there, I want to make a change, and kicking down doors and kicking ass and licking names or whatever it is, or licking ass, and I don't know what it is. Oh, yeah.
Miami thing.
So anyways, I was so caught up, and that was who I was, that I forgot that I also like to do stand-up comedy, that I also like to do video stuff. And it wasn't until like 3 or 4 years down the road where I'm like, hey, I could be both. I don't want to forget who I am. This is what made me. And then I had a big change, and it just meshed. Still, I was able to be a police officer and able to keep who I was. And as I was teaching at the academy a couple years ago, I did like 2 years of teaching there at the academy. I would tell the recruits that I'm like, it's okay, because you have to break down the civilian mindset to become a law enforcement officer, because you're about to see some stuff and you have to break that down. But at the same time, don't let go of who you are while you put this uniform on.
Yep.
that badge is, you know, it's just metal. It represents them. It's just metal, though, at the end of the day. It's not a superhero cape. You're not going to become somebody else. You're still who you are. Anyways, we were talking about the canine incident that you said. If you wanted to end on that, yeah.
Oh, sure.
Is there anything else you want to touch on before you get there?
Well, you reminded me of something where people say, you know, the whole identity piece. Try working on your language.
Mm-hmm.
Self-talk is very important. I bring that up in the book as well. What we say really resonates mind and body.
Mm.
Start changing your language. Say, I work as a police officer, not I am a police officer.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a hard habit to break.
Mm.
But you'll start thinking of it as, yeah, sure, calling, passion. Absolutely, it has to be.
Yeah.
But you'll just start thinking of it as not who you are. So, yeah, your language. I work as a police officer. Something as simple as that over time.
I mean, I do that sometimes with like phone conversations. You know, mm-hmm. I just, hey, Justin Yarbrough. You know, like, I could be a civilian on the phone.
Yeah.
I could be, you know, I'm not, this is Officer Yarbrough right. calling. It's just, to me, it sounds just too much, too official. And it's just, hey, it's Justin Yarbrough. If they want to find out, they'll find out if I write an email and they see the signature and stuff. And, oh, I was talking to a cop.
Yeah.
Like, I always, oh, you're a police officer?
I always, you know, do that whenever I'm ordering food.
Yeah.
It's just Nick,
yeah.
Not officer.
Yeah,
you,
I don't know.
You might get the person that likes you
and
packs an extra side of fries, or the person that doesn't hate you. Like,
yep.
Yeah.
So I'm always like, Nick, not a cop.
Yeah. I mean, I love the, you're a police officer?
Yeah.
I'll take that all day, every day.
Absolutely.
You know, I get 100%. That even when I'm wearing a uniform.
Yeah. I get that when I'm driving the ice cream truck.
That's right.
Are you a real police officer?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a little.
You remember the songs.
Yeah, of course. All right. So now we're getting to the, you want to wait?
And come back.
And then come back, and we'll end it on that.
Okay. Cool.
We'll be right back.
Are you a police officer? Are you an investigator? Well, it is time to take your investigation to a whole new level, and let's get some of those cases closed. I'm talking about the one and only CIT Criminal Investigation Training Group. Guys, Freddie and his team can come to your police department and bring their training courses, such as interview and interrogation, advanced interview and interrogation, crime scene analysis, homicide investigations, criminal law, case preparation and court presentation, and much, much more. If you'd like to find out more information, please contact Freddie Ponce, Detective Freddie Ponce. Yes, you've seen him on the first 48, at contact@freddieponce.com. Or you could check out www.criminalinvestigationtraininggroup.com. All right, let's get back to the show.
All right, we're back.
Yeah, let's get back into it.
So, canine story and you.
Yeah, but I think you grazed over it a little bit, and
yes,
you know, that was you were canine officer. You were Mr. I got hair all over my uniforms, and I don't care if I smell like a dog. Every and when time, you got happy, you wiggle your butt a
every
little.
Time he's on the, every time he's on the radio, you can hear the dog in the background.
That's you.
No, I was, man. It was a dream come true because during the internship, I saw the canine unit training, and I was just like, this is it.
Yeah,
this is it. And it took me, let's do the math, 11 years. Mm. 11 years. And I finally got in. And I was networking. I mean, attending trainings on my own time.
You got to go out there and take the hits.
Oh, yeah. Hundreds of times, if not thousands.
Yeah.
And, you know, be made fun of by the canine officers. All part of it. By the way, if anyone wants to work in canine one day, I like dogs and I want to do this. That's not what you say on the interview by any means. But anyway, finally, dream come true. The first dog didn't work out. She had bad hips. So anyway, finally got a new dog. He was crazy.
Let me bring it back. Yeah. You said it was a female dog?
It was a female shepherd, yep. Her hips were bad, and we got her from another department. She had already been trained a little bit.
So
they were kind of like, hey, you're new to it. Why not get an already trained dog?
Yeah.
And certain things were working out, but one day she went up to catch a tennis ball and just let out this, and it just sounded awful.
Yeah.
And we brought her to the vet, and they were like, you were sold a dog that can't be police canine. You know, the department was mad about that.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, brought her back, and then a few months later, got another dog. And you talk about a ball drive. Like, I'd bring out a tennis ball, he'd just be shaking. And then
was it a Shep or was it a Malinois?
A Dutch Shepherd.
Shepherd.
And for a while, I thought he was a Belgian Tavurin, but we did some more digging. He was actually Dutch Shepherd, but he wouldn't let go of the sleeve for nothing. I mean, it good bite, but just wouldn't let go.
Yeah.
It was very stressful from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back on it, my wife apparently took the brunt of a lot of my complaining. And I talk about now how it was my dream job. She says, bull crap, that was your dream job. All you did was complain about it. I said, did I really? Looking back, I did. Like, all the negative stuff, it was coming out on her. But I was good at work, like, in the moment and enjoying the action. But it came out on her. They say don't take it home with you. At least have someone that can be an outlet. And if it's your spouse, that's fine. But have an outlet, not just a total gripe fest. But the job became very stressful because this dog and I just weren't clicking at all. Mm. And then all of a sudden, the old trainer left and a new trainer was appointed. He was a senior handler at the time. Now he's a new trainer. Things just aren't going well at all.
Yeah.
And my dog and I went a full year without a successful track. I mean, it was embarrassing, and I'm starting to doubt my whole calling. I'm like, why did I even sign up for this? Finally, a new trainer comes on, things start turning around. His method of training, it was just working, and my dog and I actually started getting tracks against all odds. I mean, we ran half a mile down a creek one time and caught a guy who thought he could be all Hollywood and run through the water and, evade the dog.
Doesn't work.
And finally, we turned the corner in the creek, and there he is sitting on the bank, and he's like, hey, what are y'all doing here? I'm like, man, stop. You know you got a warrant for a probation violation. Man, stop that. And he's like, anyway, things were coming around. I'm about 9 years in the career at this point, so I've got a groove going. I'm making DWI arrests and warrants, and just it was really all coming together. But not at home. We were growing apart because one, I was getting wrapped up in the identity piece, which we discussed.
Right.
But two, I wasn't taking care of myself. I was working out. I was hanging out with people outside the job, but it just wasn't enough because I wasn't getting sleep. We did 2 weeks of days, 2 weeks of nights. I was just like, well, I'll just push through with caffeine.
Yeah.
I was part. And then 2016 was like the night the five Dallas officers were murdered.
Yep.
Right. I was working that night. It just seemed like nobody wanted to cooperate, and we're already dealing with the stress of knowing that those officers had been killed, which hurt every police officer across the country, you know, emotionally. It was just, it was draining to learn about that. Yeah. You know? We ended up having to fight a guy that night, and I hated fighting. I mean, yeah, I trained BJJ and Krav Maga, but like, I still hated to fight. If anything, I trained to make the fight a lot less time.
Yeah.
Right. And, it was just so stressful. And I go home and I just brought it all home with me, and I get snippy, and my wife's like, stop bringing that stuff home to me. And that was the start of us really growing apart, where I was not proactively dealing with my mental health and all the trauma that I was being exposed to, like in a fight for my life. And just like, we went to a call where a guy had blown his whole stomach out with a shotgun to kill himself. Mm. You know, I'm fine. That was just another day on the job, right? No big deal.
Yeah.
And we started growing apart, and I touched on it. We're riding down the road one day, and she said, I'm going to do this on my own. She was tired of being a single mom every other weekend with our son. And yeah, you know what the schedule is prior to kids, but you just don't know the full magnitude of what being a parent is until you're a parent, right?
Right.
And I started taking off vacation time, a lot more of it, just to repair things. But work just kept coming home with me. And the schedule just never got really any better. I mean, there were times when I was called out. I said, hopefully I'll be home in a few hours. You know, I should have never said that, because it was several hours.
Yeah.
Or I would have to work over after whatever. And when it really got bad to a point where we got into an argument, because she was just over it. She said, I'm tired of this. You need to resign from this. Leave policing, all in all. I didn't want to hear that, because it's who I was. We argued one night, and we spent the night in different beds. Needless to say, it wasn't like a cozy sleep night full of restorative rest or anything like that. I mean, I'm up every 2 to 3 hours just trying to process what's going on here and how did we get to this point. And that was my eye-opening moment, where I was like, I can't lose this marriage because of the job.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart to see police officers going through marital problems, and they'll still put the job ahead of their family. And it's a hard truth to embrace, but I did resign from the canine unit because I called a friend of mine. He's a pastor at a church. And I said, man, I don't know what to do. I really don't. He said, you know what to do? He said, the job is earthly. Your wife is godly. You know what to do. Do the right thing. It won't be easy, but do it.
Yeah.
But how many times in life do we make the right decision and it ends up being a hard decision, but it ends up paying off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had we not gone through that, we wouldn't be where we are today. We're stronger now. Not that I'm proud of it, what I did to her and how I hurt her back then, and all that stress I brought upon her. But you take hard times in life and you make the most out of them later on, when you like get out of the funk, for lack of a better phrase. And I mean, it's led to books, led to speaking, all because it's just, I don't want someone else to go through that. And if they do find themselves going through it, just know, make the hard decision. But the hard decision is probably the right decision, and it's totally worth it. Because also, another hard truth is, you may think your department's your family. Mm-hmm. When you leave, that department's going to keep on marching without you just fine.
Absolutely.
And I've been out of it a little over a year now completely, and I can tell you how many people on one hand I'm still in touch with from the department. I mean, it's just like that. But it was a huge an awakening of just how important family is through the whole thing.
Yeah. I don't want to say that none of this stuff. I don't need it. I think everybody at one point needs it, and some people don't understand the tools that are there for them to get out of it. And
exactly.
I think that's what this book hits on. It's like, listen, everybody, I don't care who you are, how tough you are, is dealing with something, and here are some tools. And I think that's awesome to put it all there. And if you're listening, and if you're like, damn, do I call a pastor, or do I go to church, or that church didn't really do it for me, or here's some help here in this book here. So that's really good. And then that's one thing I wanted to say. And then to touch on the last thing is, you're spinning plates. And if you put too much with a marriage and everything in work, and this, if you're so focused on that plate that you're spinning at work, and it's so fun to spin that plate, that marriage one's going to start getting wobbly, and eventually it's going to fall over. So you have to manage your time, making sure and adjusting that, okay, that work one is going. I got to take my time off, make sure this plate is good, do that date night, have those conversations that are meaningful, those deep conversations, not just like, hey, well, how was your day? Hey, it was good. Good. You're going to go watch your show? Okay, I'm going to go watch my show. And there's nothing there. So have those deep conversations. And if you're doing work, that's why I got like 10 plates going. Mm-hmm. I got the podcast. The podcast at this point sometimes like, so it's really tough, and especially now and throw kids in there. So I like to use that analogy of the spinning plates.
It's a very good analogy. You know. Yeah.
So man, like I said, we have your other book here. We have actually three, and there's four.
There's four total. Yeah.
There's four. One more, and you're going to be doing the Harry Potter series.
Yeah.
Doing the Harry Potter series, but they're good stuff. And this 101 useful tips for a rookie. Where can they find all these?
It's all self-published on Amazon.
Amazon. Yep. And what about any websites or anything if you guys want to have them on? If you're an agency listening, guest speaker or something, you want to plug that stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. TheScottMedlin.com. And I do have a course or speech, The 10 Code Mindset. Happens to be the name of my podcast and YouTube channel as well.
Hey, shout outs.
And if someone is like, well, we can't get you here, there's the budget thing. I hear that. And I understand that. It is available online.
There you go.
So it is available online. You can go to the website, thescottmedlin.com. It is, it's not a course necessarily. It's like just 3 hours of virtual coaching where I share the hard times I went through, how I got out of them. And there was more than what we went over today.
Yeah.
And then we dive a lot more into way more solutions so that not only will you serve, not get through and stay alive in a very dangerous career where you're more of a threat to yourself. Obviously, I can't predict what someone else does out there or tries to do to you. But you can take what the 10 Code Mindset teaches and create a fulfilled life, even during the hard times, because that's what I had to do. And I'm just here to spread the word about it. So that's what I recommend.
Awesome stuff, man.
Thank you.
One more time, thank you for your service to the country. Thank you for your law enforcement service, and thank you for your service to officers and everyone that's going through some stuff with these useful tips here. So appreciate you coming on the show, going for the handshake over the mic.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Nick. Yeah.
Appreciate you coming on the show.
It's been an honor. I'm a fan by far. I really appreciate it. This is honored. Big honor.
Good stuff.
You good?
No, yeah. I'm just enjoying it.
All right. Good. So go follow him on social media stuff. And, well, great to have you back on for this one. Can't wait.
All right. Good deal.
All right.
Thanks, Scott.
All right.
Calling all units. Calling all units. Donut Shop has a fresh dozen. Go ahead and take a 1040.